outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Chain.
Strange week, Kyle.
Strange week.
Oh, the last week. Yeah, we were up with my dad in the mountains for Easter week and had a great time with him. Kids were up, all that, so that was fun. Came back yesterday. You're following the Lewis story, right, my friend Lewis?
I am.
And if you're following the Lewis story and you're listening to this podcast, then this will mean something to you. Raphael is a character in that story, somebody that took a real interest in Lewis when he was a kid. Lewis has not, I don't know how far some of you are listening to it, but Lewis has not seen him since he was 15 years old, which is like 30 plus years ago, until Friday night.
Until Friday night.
Until Friday night. Good Friday night.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
And
what brought this about? How?
I can't tell you what it's all about because there's a big piece of the story that people don't have yet because it's not been something Lewis has been free to talk about.
Okay.
But he was closing up a church building after a prayer vigil. He was all alone in the premises and walking away from the door toward the parking lot. He sensed Raphael was near, and he heard footsteps behind him, and he tried to turn around and couldn't turn around. And then there's this exchange between them, and finally he was able. Interesting. Raphael is a character in Lewis's past.
Yeah,
maybe an angelic being, maybe. And this makes it even stranger. But you've got to hear the pie. If you haven't heard it, this is gonna make no sense to you. And I'm sorry to torture you with this, but Lewis has been processing a part of his journey that we don't talk about in the podcast, which is why I can't tell you a whole lot about what happened here.
Okay.
We may get a chance to tell that story now because God's brought some real healing into it, and I think he's maybe ready to tell it. But so he hears the saying, said, "Are you here?" And the voice says, "I'm always here." He says, "Can I see you?" And he said, "I'm behind you." He said, "How do you want to see me?" And he said, "I want to see my friend." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Then turn around." And Raphael was there, materially there, not in his mind there, materially there. He touched him, was touched by him. Man, I don't even know what to make of this story. I heard that this morning. My head's blown. We'll talk about it after the podcast airs. I'm going to have a talk with Lewis. Either we'll tell this other story that he hasn't told yet, but we'll at least tell this night because the things he said were just incredible. He told Lewis something I had told Lewis a week before, something I'd asked Lewis to maybe process with God. He comes in and says, "You're not processing that well, what Wayne told you." And he says, "You know Wayne?" He said, "Of course I know Wayne. And Sarah and Abby and Zoe, which are two dogs."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he goes, "What? You know they're dogs? Of course I know them." And I just went, oh my gosh. And then he goes on, and the stuff he tells Lewis is just extraordinary. And we'll talk about it down the road someday, but this has been the strangest week already. And then this day was like, I don't know where to process this. Even a few minutes ago, I said, "God, if you would allow Raphael to join me one morning when I go for a walk, I would love to talk to, I would love to have a feel for this guy. He's in town, whether he's, angelic or a human." But Lewis said he had not aged at all since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Since he was in his teens.
Yeah. Since he was 15, wearing the same clothes he always wears, the Converse shoes, the Levi's, the white t-shirt. Yes. And at the end of it,
towards angelic on that one then, because there's no way.
Lewis said, "Man, I'd love to get him in the car and love to take him over to, even though I wasn't home." He said, I so want you to meet Raphael." Mm-hmm. And I said, "I'm in, man. You can call me at 1 o'clock in the morning. I will find my way to your house if he shows up again." But I said, "It's got to be obviously at his disposal." At the end of it, Lewis asked him, he said, "Will I ever see you again?" Mm-hmm. And Raphael said, "If you need to, you will." Mm-hmm. But he said, "It's not me that you want to be talking to, and it's not me that you want to seek after. It's Jesus. You need to follow Jesus. Don't look for me. I'm not a substitute for him." So I've been living with that all day, dying to share it with somebody. But
oh my gosh.
People aren't far enough down that story. I know you're a little further down it because you're getting some earlier stuff. But this is the perfect capper to the podcast, but we finished the podcast. So And there's really no way back to go insert all this story where it would most fit. So I don't know what we'll definitely, he said he wants to talk about it publicly. So we will do
okay.
it. But, oh my gosh.
Oh man. I can't like, cause as you were describing that, like it just gave me chills. And, you know, I was just thinking like, man, Lord, like, especially as after we were talking last week about, you know, the playfulness of God and God bringing people into our lives. And then your mind getting blown by prayer and this whole journey of corporate prayer that you're getting to experience. And then you do, and then you post this Facebook post,
yeah,
this Facebook post video about this, like this moment, this intimate moment that you had with God in the scar of the wildfire. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, like, okay, Wayne, like I need some more context to this because I completely agree with what you're sensing on your heart. And I think God's already doing it. But yeah, I just, wow, what a week.
Oh, it's been, yeah, very strange. For those of you that haven't heard that video yet, I'll do a blog on it so people may be exposed to it before this podcast airs. But okay. Yeah, it's up in the wildfire. We went out, traveled out a bit because where my dad lives in that area, there's no damage at all. You can be right there and it looks like the wildfire never happened. You can drive 1 mile and see complete devastation. And so
wow.
We decided to drive up further where the fire had been more prevalent. And we drove up there with the grandkids and my daughter, just take a look up there. And then we got out of the car and we wandered up a burnt up hillside. We walked up the top of it. And from there, you could see back down to Shaver Lake and all the burnt forest around it. And it's not totally consumed by the fire. Fire only passed on one side of it. But it was just a fun day with the kids, talking about all that, exploring it, looking at the forest, just looking at the absolute devastation of it all. And then
yeah.
As we drove back and the next day or so, I had this haunting in my soul that there was something I was supposed to see up there that I didn't see.
Mm.
And so the next couple of days, I was just holding it, pondering these things in my heart, as Mary said. I was just pondering, saying, God, is there something I missed there? And I was planning on, I'll go back there and see if I missed something I was supposed to see, or maybe God reveals something. So I'm on a walk alone, me and Zoe hanging out on a walk. I do 4 miles, Sarah does three. So Sarah had gone back to the cabin and I was still walking a bit, and man, just walking through this part of the woods, the presence appears. You know, just I know I'm not alone. My whole body is just electric, and I'm thinking, well, what is this about? And immediately my heart was drawn to Romans chapter 8, this one of my favorite passages, always has been, where it says the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, because it was subjected to futility, not of its own accord, but by those who subjected it, which I think would be us humans in the fallenness. And then it says, and the creation once again will be liberated. And I was thinking about that with that whole, the metaphor of the burnt up forest and our world with the pandemic and the political angst and animosity and climate change, whatever it's called. I was thinking about all those things and really focused my heart on, man, it's they're yearning for the day when God's children are revealed in the earth. And I just began to vibrate, you know, the goosebumpy, I mean, all that. It was a sense of presence. It was near. And then I heard these two words whispered into my heart. I didn't hear him with my physical ears, heard him in my heart. It's time. Hmm. And when I heard that, I even as I say right now, man, everything amps up in my being. I really feel like there's something here God is saying, it's time. And like you said, the last 8 months have been quite a journey for me. It's been, there's been a lot of stuff where God seems to indicate that he's going to move in a different way. There's something about to happen. And I don't mean about to happen like next week. I mean, this is weeks and months of, but I feel if I had to make a conclusion about it, and that's always dangerous because, you know, God gives you one thing, it's time. And okay, I think I know what that means. And I don't know what it means, but my sense of it was something is happening in the people of God who have in the last 10, 15, 20 years marinated in learning to live in the love of the Father and learning to be at rest in his work instead of doing their own, that's going to allow that to be more visible in the earth. And I don't mean in media. I don't mean, you know, like some movement. I don't mean something external. I just mean there'll be a different way that God makes himself known through people who are just willing, who have enough settledness in his love to love differently the people around them, the people they meet every day, the people that that walk through their life. They have a different sense of it. I do think there'll be some miraculous stuff attached to that, but that's mm-hmm. always gets really twisted. So I don't want to make a big deal of that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like God, I said, God, what do I do? What do I do? And I what keeps coming back, just be ready. Just rest. Mm-hmm. Just rest and be ready. Okay. I can do that. I can rest. And it's an interesting time because when I was up at Shaver Lake, I finished the last two of the My Friend Lewis podcast. And has been a harder, more time consuming task than any book I've written. And I don't regret it. It's a great story. And I'm glad the story's been told. And, you know, it's spreading in the world in an interesting way. Lewis got a call from Brazil, somebody listening to the podcast. Yeah. I'm just going, what? it is awesome. Really spreading, particularly among his family and extended people and friends and we haven't done much to publicize it. We're just putting it in the world and let the Holy Spirit carry it as far as he wants to. But yeah, all that is going on. And so I was done and I was just saying, what's next, God? I'm not looking for a project really. I'm kind of maybe retirement is my hope when I say what's next. And he goes,
that's a dangerous space for you to be in, Wayne.
No, it's not. It's a glorious space. But he's just saying, hey, just be ready. I just want you to be ready. I don't do anything. Don't fill up your life with something else. Just be ready. Something's coming you can't see yet. Surprise me. But in the meantime, I've had that deep exhale last part of the week, last week, the early part of this week. I go, man, I've got some fun stuff coming up. I really get to relax. I'm playing golf at Riviera Country Club on Thursday with the mayor of Riviera. He's one of the top guys there, been there for years. We got this at some kind of charity auction. We're going to get to play with him and a friend of his. He knows all the story. He knows all the ins and outs of Riviera. He knows all the members there. It's only 300 members, but they're almost all really famous people. And for whatever reason, God's provided a way for him. I think a bless me day. Just, hey, go have fun. Yeah. And I'm getting to go down and play. If you don't follow golf, it's one of the top five golf courses where tournaments are held by the pros that they really covet winning outside the majors. It's one of those top. It's Tiger's tournament every February. He hosts a tournament there. It used to be the LA Open. Now it's the Genesis Open. But we get to walk those grounds and play some golf. And my game's not good right now, so that won't be fun. But just being there will be fun. Enjoying the people. It's a crazy world.
It's really intriguing to me. I guess just as I hear that, you know, I'm thinking about just some of the experiences that I talked with you about last week and just how God's starting to... The more that I just settle in his spirit and just rest in the opportunities that he puts in front of me and say, and be willing to say yes, you know, just having that heart of curiosity and wanting to say yes and discovery, man, it's really intriguing how God is drawing in that, you know, that playfulness, but then also like just making contacts that I would have never expected to have.
That's great.
You know, and giving me access to people that I wouldn't normally even think about. Then you're talking about, you know, the golfing and just having access, like God just creating unique access. And I love that.
I hear people scream. I hear voices screaming in my head. Kyle, describe what that means. You say, when I just settle in his spirit, what does that mean to you? Because I think people are going, ooh, I want some of that.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
I think the easiest way for me to describe it is like you said, it's the exhale. It's me. Cause I can easily get caught up in like all the swirling junk around me as far as like the news and the fear that people are feeling, the angst that other people are feeling, you know, for me and just like this need to try to provide, being a young dad, being earlier in his career, finances stuff. And I guess for what I have experienced is, and I would say this has been a very new chapter for me, in just this settling. There's been like, I've had seasons of adventure. I've had seasons of father heart. I've had seasons of romance. I've had seasons of the miraculous. But for me, the sense that I'm getting is or the invite that I'm feeling is I want you to just come and be my son. Like, I want you to just rest in me and play with me. I want you to discover with me. And the way that that looks is there's almost this permission to let go of the details. And that's weird for me. Cause I like, one of my top five strengths is like strategic. And so I like the details. I like the plan. And there's almost this expectation of being surprised. Like the other weekend when I got a random text message from a good friend of mine that I've just started to get to know. And he's like, "Hey, a couple of my buddies that are living a similar life as you are, they happen to be a mile and a half from you. Would you be willing to go and turkey hunt with them?"
Yeah, you told us that story last week. It was more than a mile and a half, yeah. Though. Wasn't it an hour and a half?
Yeah, it was an hour and a half.
Yeah, you said a mile and a half.
Not a mile and a half, an hour and a half. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you told us that story last week, how just serendipitous that was. But settle, because I know we talked about adulting last week, which is kind of, you know, you got to make some big boy decisions and big girl decisions. You got to, you know, do that. And now we're kind of talking on the other side of that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are in some ways.
Because they're both important, I think. It's important that, yeah, we've got to make the decisions that move us on a trajectory where life can unfold.
Yes, absolutely.
Then there's also this trajectory of God saying, okay, that works in terms of life in the world and getting a job and getting a romantic relationship and doing those things. But my kingdom, there's a settledness that comes. And I love that, being settled in the spirit, which doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to lay on my couch and watch basketball until God does something. It's not that. You're not that kind of person. I'm not that kind of person.
No.
But as I think as people are, okay, man, I love God. I'm going to follow him. But now I feel like that invitation into, I love the phrase being settled in his spirit, which is not fatalism. It's not couch potato time. It's really inside a relationship that's had some time to grow.
Yes.
There's a way that we hear him best when we're more settled than when we're anxious and furious about trying to do the best we can do.
Yeah.
Because I took my big exhale last week and was kind of relaxing, and I settled in the spirit, just sounded like a great way to describe that. But I was reading Luke's what I'm reading right now. I did a whole lot of Old Testament prophets for a while and just felt like, man, I need a good dose of Jesus for a season. Because I learned a lot in those Old Testament guys, but I also need to get back here. And this, when I came back from that walk, here's the next thing I read. It was in Luke 12. He said, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for the master to return from a wedding banquet. So that when he comes and knocks, you can immediately open the door for him." And what that drew me to was just, I have been a project guy most of my life, whether it's been a book or a podcast, or I've had something on my heart I've been working on. And I honestly wonder, when I wake up with a day that's already got a lot of demand in it, am I really free enough to immediately welcome what door God might open in my life that day? It might be a conversation with somebody, it might be just a new opportunity, it might be whatever, like the shack came into my life, or like those things. And I just really see, man, there's something about, and we talked about last week, rest and play. There's something about just be watching. You don't have to do something to make God move. You don't. That's not how that works. But I was trained that there is. There's things you do to make God do his deal. But now, no. What you do is you settle and you watch and you just stay ready. And it's not this paranoid, and I know, you know, the parable of the 10 virgins and 10 of them got left out and them to oil, and there's all that fear that provokes. I don't think it was meant to do that. I'm just saying, look, if you're ready beyond your expectations, how quick you think it should be, what it should look like, if you're just ready, then everything works out when God shows up. And I know God always lives with it. I'm not distorting that, but there's things when God invites us into stuff. And I wonder, when I sit in eternity with him, how many of those things I missed. because I wasn't ready. I was so busy doing what I thought needed to be done. So busy sometimes, and I think in more former days, so busy with my agenda, even ministry kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I look back and I wonder how many conversations I missed, how many people there were to serve, how much of a doorway into the miraculous he opened. And I walked right by it. I just missed it because I wasn't waiting. I was busy. I've always seen that waiting thing as, you know, you sort of wait for God. God's not doing anything yet. So you just wait, wait, wait. And that's not what it's really about. It's not that kind of bored trying to wait it out. It's just simply just be ready because he's coming.
And I think there's some like some joyful anticipation, right? Like it's like the way that I think of it is, It's almost like this shift of like there's new friends in my life that I know, you know, there's this feeling of like God, there's a, you know, a spirit style connection with them. Like there's just something about the friendship that has, you know, a great flavor to it, a great engagement to it. But then there's my friends that there's that element where our hearts have been tied together and we've done life together. But you're not on, like you don't have to perform. You're not on. You're not like there's just a joy of being with them, and there's an anticipation of what do we get to do together? And I feel like there's that when I say like that settled in the spirit or the resting and waiting, I almost feel like it's like that where with a good friend, there doesn't have to be a plan. But there's an anticipation for adventure. There's an anticipation for discovery, of surprise, of curiosity, and of joy that's there.
Especially with someone that's so far beyond us. I think of that when my grandkids were really, really young. They're getting to that age now where it's not that much difference between us and them. But when they were really, really young and come over, and you just love, like, you know, about 2 o'clock going, hey, you guys want some ice cream? We got ice cream. Yeah, we want ice cream. And you just drop these little surprises in. And it's not like they're just sitting around staring at grandpa saying, okay, grandpa, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're playing. We're enjoying each other, whatever. And then you get to drop in these little surprises when they're appropriate. But I really sensed in what I was hearing was God is really drawing a distinction between the religious heart that disfigures who God is, and the loved heart that can reveal who he is. And distinction is going to become clearer in days to come. And I don't mean clearer in Christianity Today or Charisma or Christian television. I don't mean any of those places. I just mean in your community, in your neighborhood, in your home, those who are following him, it will be more obvious those who are settled in his love, or as you said, settled in his spirit, than those who don't know him and then are anxious about all kinds of things and take up a lot of bandwidth in the world by them trying to start the next movement, start the next whatever, influence the next election, whatever's going on, that there's something unfolding. And I think I said this in the video, I don't think that's just what like people listen to God Journey or people who've read He Loves Me or whatever. I think this, or The Shack, I think there's millions of people around the world that we have not even connected with, know, may never need to know, that are just, it's going to become more obvious where God is putting his fingerprints on things, not to glorify a certain group of people. It's not that. Yeah. It's to make himself known so people are not confused, that the God they're searching for in their heart is not the pompous, noun I have there is probably not good, is not the pompous, arrogant, tyrannical ruler that they are afraid he is, but that he really is a God of immense love and incredible wisdom and power to help us live in the freedom of who he is. And I think that's going to become more obvious. And I'm along for the ride, man. I'm in.
Well, and I think, honestly, I think it's already starting to happen, because with the global pandemic, I think that's been just something that has really started to define or sort out, or I guess even amplify, people who were walking in that settled heart versus the angst and the fear and the turmoil It's not that they didn't feel fear. It's not that they didn't feel angst, but there was a deeper flow of rest that highlighted in their lives. And in a world that now, like, honestly is in a global scale where that's the general feeling of like disruption and angst and chaos. And what do we do? You know, I feel like you're right. That's just going to become more evident. It's going to be like, oh, that's unique. I don't know what you have, but I want to figure it out because it's countercultural. It doesn't align with the flow that the media is projecting or the government's projecting or the social media influence are projecting, whatever it be.
Right.
And I love it that I think you're completely right. I think that there's a remnant of his beloved that we don't even have a snippet of what he, as far as like the totality of what he's doing globally,
for sure.
Amongst his bride and amongst the remnant that he is building up. I can't wait. And that's what I love about it. It's like as you're resting in that, all of a sudden there's these invitations to encounter people that are in a similar flow and you'd never even know it. And then all of a sudden you're having a similar conversation. You're like, whoa, you know what, where did that come from? Or, oh my gosh, it's crazy that you say that because I was literally having this conversation the other day.
And then when we go back up to the mountains later this spring or summer, standing in the midst of the burn scar, you cannot see one inkling of green. It is black and dirt brown. That's all it is. But I know the next time we get up there a few months from now, green will be sprouting. And it'll be a whole lot less green than was there last year. But that green will stick out. The contrast
will just be,
wow, look at this. We came home from that trip. We're gone a week. We come back here and my grapevines have just exploded. They're just green everywhere. And you go, see, it's like that. It's not, God's going to wake up and finally do something. He's been, like you said, it's been happening all along. But a lot of that growth has been subsurface. Boy, there was somebody gave me a word like that this fall. I remember saying a lot of stuff's gone on below the surface that is now going to begin to spring up. And in the angst of the world, there's going to be a greater contrast to the life of the Spirit among his people. That would say that it's time. It would be that first fruits of God's presence and God and love that's real and deep, not just the theology about love, but a real ability to love the people around us in ways we've not ever loved them before, and the fruit of that and the equipment of that. I don't know.
Well, that's bringing to mind, honestly, this quote that I heard the other day when I was listening to a podcast. And the quote was that, and I would love your thought on this, it was that every generation has lost a piece or an aspect of the gospel and has been charged with the recovery of the heart of his word. And it was like this idea that there's these pendulum shifts with like our understanding of God's heart and the way that he engages with his beloved. And we lose sight of every generation loses a piece or doesn't see that. And yet he's charged his remnant, his beloved, to recover that wisdom, to recover that revelation, to recover that relational insight. And as you're talking, it's like, man, I think God's recovering some really cool aspects of his heart and his relational intentionality towards his remnant and his beloved in some really cool ways.
I like the way that flipped because God's charged us to recover. And then at the end, you talked about God recovering. And that's how I first reacted to that. God's charged us with, well, that sounds like a whole lot of work. I got to go out and find out what we lost. Yeah. Now I got to find out a way to do it. And then I've got to write a book or something so other people have access to it. And I just go, I'm exhausted. But I love that God is recovering, not because he lost anything, but we're at a place, I think, with all, like you said, the pandemic, all that's gone on, people are, I guess, that poor in spirit enough to say, wow, I'm looking for something fresh from God. And it's not that God has any more desire to move now than he had last year, the year before, but it's that people may be more receptive to say, do this in me.
And like you said, I think that there's been underground movements and subterranean heart growth that he's been laying down for decades that we have no idea. And yet the fruits of that are starting for a time such as this that we had no idea. And yet he was doing that work ahead of time so that relational invitation would be made known in the time that it was needed without us ever even knowing it, you know, or being able to anticipate it.
I'd love to see how this develops. I'd love to see what other people are sensing. In fact, I'm thinking, I don't know if you're free Sunday morning. I'm thinking about actually doing a God Journey Live thing where we just invite people into a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And stream it live on Facebook on the God Journey page and maybe just see what other people are hearing, saying what they would want to ask questions about. I think this is a conversation that needs a little more breath. And so I'm going to do that. If you can join us, that'd okay. be great. And yeah. see if others of you want to join us. Like, you know, we'll put as many in the Zoom room as we can practically make work. But we'll also, for those of you that don't just want to listen in, we'll stream it live so you can listen into it. Probably do it here 10:30 Pacific time, which would be 11:30 okay. your time. Does that work?
Yeah, that should work.
Look
yeah.
at us having a staff meeting right on air. But yeah, I'd be excited to see what other people are sensing. I'm sure other people have been feeling something similarly, or there may be yeah. people with questions saying, man, I want to, help me. What's going on here? Cause I don't understand it all. I'm probably going to do that with my friend Lewis when it ends too. I'm going to have a Zoom because I know people are going to say, I'm going to talk about that too. But this one, just that whole Romans 8, it's time. What does that mean? And again, it's. I think it's a real invitation into this being settled. It's not an yeah. invitation into, oh no, I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to, not FOMO no. time, fear of being left out. It's not, you know, anxiety time. It's not, oh yeah, let's radically commit our, it's none of those things that we were always taught were part of God's freshness. It really is coming to a place of being settled in his love or settled in his spirit, where we know that we know that we know that human effort cannot produce the work of God in the world. It's not yeah. up to us. And now, how does God make himself known? Through the sons and daughters of people who are related to him? And how does that display to the world? And it's not just worldly people. It's not people who don't know God yet. It's them, surely. But it's also to the creation. It's to the trees and the flowers and the
yeah.
grass and the sky and the the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God and the daughters of God to be revealed. Well, let it be. Mm-hmm. Let it freaking be, because that will be so fun. Yeah, I said freaking. That'll knock people out. But
oh man, you're gonna have to bleep button that.
No. It was freaking. It was fine. It's absolutely allowable. So I don't know where all that happens, but man.
Well, that's, I there's like this anticipation or this excitement about Sunday, because I know that there's going to be other, like, I can't wait to hear what the remnant is saying, you know, that I don't even know, that you don't know, like just the connections that God is doing in ways that I you can't help but laugh about, right? Like, there's no way you could, like, it's just hilarious. Like, you know, this couple that I've been working with, that's just been this amazing relationship with the life coaching company. And we shared on a mutual Facebook post of a pastor in a different state. Like, that's how it happened.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Like, and it's just great. Like, it's fun stuff that, like, you literally, like, it's laughable how absurd and yet how playful. And there's just this fun sense of humor that undertones it. That is just like, I love it.
Yeah. And Remnant, again, I just want to underscore that Remnant has been used a lot to, like, oh, there's these special people that God really loves, or they're closer to him. We're not talking that way. We're talking Remnant in the way I think that Elijah talked about, where he said, I'm all alone. It's just me. And God, I got 9,000 or 8,000, 10,000 prophets, never bowed their knee to Baal. And it just goes, okay, so you just don't know what's going on. So it's not Remnant. Yeah. We're a special group of people.
No, 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 no.
It is that God has been doing something deeply in people all over the world. And it hasn't been very visible yet, but it's going to be. And I don't mean next week or next month. It could be, this is just a season of saying, how is this going to unfold? And what is it going to look like? And all of our expectations about that, I can just flat out say are wrong. All the ways that we are mostly religious ways that we want God to make demonstrations of himself, to prove that we're right to the world and pack our buildings with people, No, it's going to be really different than that. Jesus didn't seem to do any of those things, and yet he lit a flame that burned over the whole world. And this is the good kind of flame. This is not the bad kind of wildfire. This is the good kind that burns up the chaff and brokenness and corruption and horror in our age and allows the children of God to be known and to love well and to be loved well. And I think all you can do is just say, Jesus, if this is you speaking, I want to be part of it.
Yeah.
The last thing we'll do is, let's try and do this for him. He needs us to. I don't want to hear any of that kind of language. I want to hear the language that says, yeah, let's be settled in his spirit. Let's be at rest in his love. Let's be ready when God comes. Let's be playful with him, because that's an antidote already to the world. The world is so stressed out and lost their sense of play when they were kids, because now it's just so much coming at me and this, the world's horrible and depression is rampant. Can you imagine a people that lived in the freedom of God's love and a playfulness with him? Even this little story with Lewis, and I mean, he meets this what may be an angelic figure. And if you hear the My Friend Lewis story, you won't know how else to explain it if it's not that. And then even this appearance in the last week, it just, there's no other way to explain it. But I love that he's saying, it's not about me. Don't seek me. Don't have conversations with me. This is about Jesus. It's him. I'm just here to be a helper for you. And even that would come in this time, and that we would have just finished the podcast and he knew about the podcast and asked Lewis, why is it taking you so long to share your story? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. But there was a playfulness in it. And that just, we've been so austere and terrified about the things of God. Not, I haven't been, but I think in the religious environment I grew up in, there's a whole lot of fear and sobriety, and there are times when God's very sober and says things that are very cutting. I get it, but the need is for people who can play with him and see how that play opens doors into love that really can change the world one person at a time by the people that we touch.
Yeah.
So who knows? Man, we had a whole lot of other stuff to get to. We never got to.
That's okay.
Some reactions on adulting we'll come back to, some other articles. We'll come back to this maybe next week, but maybe we never get back to it. Maybe something keeps unfurling here, but this is the stuff I love. It's time. And it's not, I didn't see that God saying to me, it's time, Wayne, for you. It's just, it's time. There's something where this yearning that creation has done, and it may be only the first fruits, because there's a lot in Romans 8 that's apocalyptic, that it'll happen at the end of the age when the children of God come into their full glory and creation does too. So some of it's apocalyptic. Some of it, though, I think is not just beyond that. It's here and now. How does this God make himself known?
That's what I love about the good news, is that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is now. It's available. Like, his presence and that relational joy is waiting for you. It's now, it's here, it's accessible. Now, granted, is it in its fullness? No, but that doesn't mean that it's not available and accessible and we can move into it and enjoy it right here, right now. I love that.
Yeah, and how much when we're kind of going through the street or sitting in a room or whatever, and you hear a group of people break out in laughter, that draws your attention. What's so funny? What's so delightful that people are excited and contented and happy? And I think that the world could use a big dose of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
See how God brings it in. So if you want to join us on Sunday, send me an email. If you want to be in the Zoom room, as I said, we'll post it. We'll stream it live on the God Journey Facebook page. And there'll be links to all that at the bottom of this podcast listing. But if you want to join us, we'll just get together on Sunday and we'll see where this goes. And
love it.
Yeah. Let's make it 10 o'clock on Sunday. 10 o'clock probably be a better time. Let's do...
Okay. So 11 o'clock my time. Okay.
10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. And if you want to join us, come join us. And if you can't join us for that, come join us in the larger journey of, God, if it's time, what does that mean for me? Because I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what it means for me yet, but I'm willing to just let my heart rise to an expectancy and open my eyes to where I can just be a little more watchful and recognize what it is that God's tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, Wayne, go that way. And I want to go.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.